now more than ever, people need to go within and plug into that cellular memory, plug into divine source, detach as much as possible from the matrix.
Hello again, everybody. This is James Bartley, and you're listening to Bartley's Commentaries on the Cosmic Wars. Today, I'm going to talk about what's been described as Rockefeller medicine. Actually, it's more like reptilian medicine. I'm going to talk about the psychopathic behavior of many doctors, medical professionals. Psychopaths and serial murderers tend to gravitate towards certain professions, and as far as the medical field is concerned, it draws countless psychopaths who wind up becoming surgeons, MDs, specialists in the various medical specialty fields, and also there are other professions which seem to attract psychopaths and serial killers, particularly in general terms, psychopaths, civil service. Countless people that have psychopathic tendencies in the civil service, all levels of government, local, state, federal. Then you have, well, we already talked about medical professionals, then we'll talk more about that as the commentary goes on. But other professions which seem to draw a lot of psychopaths, well, one of them is journalism. So you begin to see a confluence of events. You begin to see how the seemingly disparate parts begin to make up a whole. Psychopathic doctors, psychopathic medical personnel, psychopathic journalists, psychopathic news presenters. And we begin to see the depth and the breadth and the scale of the problem. And it's to do with this long-term, long-standing hybridization program instituted by the reptilians and their cosmic vassals who did a lot of the medical work. And this is far beyond experimental. Oftentimes you hear people talk about how the aliens are conducting medical experiments on people. Well, they're not experimenting. They know exactly what they're doing. Again, to reiterate, Barbara Bartlett used to always say that the aliens, to use a generic term, know us molecule by molecule. So, this long-standing hybridization agenda, on the one hand, makes all these passive, docile sheepanoids. That's my new term for a domesticated, outwardly appearing human being. But they lack that connection to source. They lack that connection to their own heart center, which is the ultimate lie detector. And why am I bringing this up? Well, it's because countless people continue to die, or rather be murdered, in the medical system, in the hospitals. All these ingredients, the psychopathic doctors, the psychopathic nurses, the psychopathic journalists, the psychopathic law enforcement officers, it created a perfect storm, a witch's brew, if you will, for what is now transpiring at the outset of this so-called, we'll just call it a plandemic. They were killing off a lot of the patients in the hospitals as well as in the nursing homes by intubating them to death, basically suffocating them. They also would overdose them on muscle relaxers. Funeral parlor director, in his video interviews, I saw only one of them, he talked about how there was suddenly a mass order going out for the family of drugs known as benzodiazepines. which act on the brain and nervous system, and they do things like they stop seizures and other muscle relaxers, and those drugs were suddenly being sent in large quantities to the nursing homes. And we now know what's happened. They killed off all the elderly and the people in the nursing homes. Their families are conveniently kept at bay by the medical authorities and law enforcement. And the people in the nursing homes, the patients, they were simply just killed off, overdosed, or intubated to death. I think I've told the story before, but it bears repeating. I knew someone who was a law enforcement officer, and then after his days as a cop, he wound up working in a nursing home. And he told me that it was standard operational procedure at this place, and presumably other nursing homes, that when the insurance ran out for a given nursing home patient, they simply OD'd the person via drip. They would stick a needle in their arm, they would put the drugs in those bags that contain the fluid, and then through the drip process would OD people. And there never seemed to be any autopsies done. They were just simply written off as having died of one or more pre-existing conditions. And this person I know had to do this on one occasion. He was ordered to OD an elderly patient, and then he couldn't do it anymore, so he quit. And this was told to me decades ago by now. So if you look at that mentality, that reptile mentality, and realize that the whole medical system, as we now understand it, came about, was essentially re-engineered by the Rockefeller family, the Luciferian satanic reptile family. So it's no wonder then that these hospitals have turned into a chamber of horrors, where people present to these hospitals, they have pneumonia, they have a cold, whatever the case may be, and then they wind up drugging them, putting them into an induced coma, intubating them, and killing them off that way, and then their deaths are written off as COVID deaths, right? So is it any wonder, in a system created by Rockefeller lizard people, that this would be happening on such a mass global scale? And then you look at the number of serial killers, infamous serial killers, who were doctors, who were MDs. And some of these serial killers were prolific murderers, killing hundreds of patients, hundreds of people, through various means. And then you look at the general percentage of psychopaths who become doctors. The Rockefeller Reptile Medical Institution, at first it works in a sort of hive consciousness manner, where these wannabe doctors, let's say, they're already reptilian hybrids to begin with, many of them. Their neurology, their DNA profile, all of it makes them out to be reptilian hybrids, Draco hybrids, born and bred. And so the entity or entities that have taken the person up as a host, working through them, develops within the host this obsession of becoming a doctor, right? And they go through medical school, they go through the essentially the trauma. Janice Barcelo talks about this, how the would-be doctors going through medical school and then going through the internships and their residencies how they're just stressed out constantly. Long hours, a lot of responsibilities. The system is set up that way. In the process, their egos are stroked. Many of them were grandiose, ego-driven, narcissistic reptilian hybrids to begin with. But then, once they go through medical school, and I used to work in a medical school, St. Joseph's Hospital in Phoenix, Arizona, a very large hospital, and they had a medical school there, and I worked in there as admin, and even the youngest residents I met in there, they were just so ego-driven. I'd never been around so many narcissist and egotistical bung munches as I have when I worked in the admin department, administrative support for all these residents, right? And you know, they'd come up to our department and they're just so ego driven. So this is who, these are the types of reptilian human hybrids, many of them, that they were going to loose upon the world. They would wind up becoming surgeons. Many, many psychopaths eventually become surgeons. The system, the medical school system, and keeping in mind that from a high consciousness perspective, obsessive compulsive voices in the head, intrusive thoughts, syndrome, it drives many of these people into the medical profession, where their lack of empathy, their narcissism, their feeling of developing a godlike power of life, over life and death, they begin to have a god, literally a god complex, and they could be a capricious, sadistic, wrathful god. Again, just do a search engine, search on doctors who kill, doctors who are murderers. You will find so many horrific examples of doctors who killed dozens, and in some cases hundreds of people. So the system, this Rockefeller reptile system, it's a factory. It churns out these MDs and doctors who are psychopaths. And there's a significant number of them that are active, conscious, willing participants in Luciferian cults. They wind up becoming doctors, but they were already part of that reptilian Draco Arcontic bloodline. And they are active members of cults. Many of them become Freemasons. And they're psychopaths and they're narcissists. And they have access to all the tools of the trade as far as serial killing is concerned. They have the drugs, they have the poisons, they have the scalpels, they have an obedient staff that will see to their every whim, that strokes their god complex. Many of these hospital staffs have seen all this play out. The administrators, same thing, the administrators that run these hospitals, psychopaths, reptilian human hybrids. And is it any wonder now that so many people are being killed off in these hospitals? The system was designed by reptilians for reptilian human hybrids, and it's, like I said, it's become a chamber of horrors. Some people literally go to these hospitals just, you know, presenting for something that has nothing to do with this fictitious contagion. And then they get trapped there, they get drugged, they get strapped down, intubated to death, put into induced comas. And we should remember the killing of children, the killing of kids of all ages, had been going on in the medical system for some time because of the childhood wax, the childhood immunizations killed off so many children, and the propensity to mendacity, the ease with which they lie. Lying comes as natural to many in the medical profession as breathing is. How many pediatricians just shrug and, "Don't look at me, the wax are perfectly safe. Kid just wound up autistic. What did you do to it? All right? Don't look at me." You know, parents bring their kid to the ER, suffering violent convulsions right after a jab, a childhood immunization. And then the parents say, "It was right after a jab, right after an immunization, right after the MMRI, right after the DTaP." And the ER doctor says it had nothing to do with it. Coincidence, nothing to do with it. Coroner does the autopsy. They never find any trace. They don't even make mention of it in the report. And most parents and most families are completely oblivious of VAERS, the wax adverse effects reporting system, right? So we're talking about an infinitesimal number, a tiny fraction of adverse effects gets reported. And that was going on before this big woo-woo hand wax rollout. All that was going on for years, for decades, before this mass global effort to wax everyone, right? Whack everyone, to use a mob term. So the Rockefeller reptile medical system is based on lies. It's based on evil. It's based on killing. It's based on inversion of truth. It's based on the total inversion of everything, the destruction of health. So let me read you a few examples of these doctors who kill. And then keep in mind, okay, we're not talking about all doctors, but at this point I would say, if doctors routinely intubate somebody to death and then write COVID on their death certificate, okay, that's psychopathic, that's on a par with Hannibal Lecter. They don't even have to get to the part, you know, with the fava beans and the Chianti, but if they don't even have to get to that level to be as evil on a par with Hannibal Lecter, okay? And then what they're doing now also when people present to a hospital for a totally unrelated issue, and then they wind up getting trapped there and drugged and put into a medical coma, intubated to death, written off as a Delta variant victim, right? And then the whole staff goes along with it. That's just so patently evil, right? So let's look at some examples of doctors in the past who have been serial killers. How about Dr. Harold Shipman? This is from Physicians Weekly, top 14 most evil doctors of the last two centuries. Harold Shipman. As a child, Shipman became interested in medicine, watching his mother suffer and die from lung cancer. After earning his medical degree, he began practice as a GP in Lancashire, England. However, in 1975, he was forced into drug rehab after becoming addicted to the opiate pethidine and having written many fraudulent prescriptions for it. In 1977, he moved to Hyde, where he started a thriving general practice. A local undertaker soon noticed that Shipman's patients were dying in unusually high numbers and often found in similar positions, sitting up or reclining on a settee. Another colleague noticed the same, and the coroner was notified and referred it to the PD. I guess that's police department. At first, Shipman was cleared of suspicion until an 81-year-old died under suspicious circumstances. Her family noticed that her will had been changed to to make Shipman the primary beneficiary and suspected it was forged. They were also concerned that the death occurred shortly after a home visit from the doctor, despite her being fine before he came. They requested the body be exhumed, and her cause of death was found to be a morphine overdose within 3 hours of her death, overlapping the time Shipman had been at her home. An investigation ensued, and it was discovered that Shipman encouraged families to cremate, and if they raised questions, he would show them computerized medical notes that corroborated his cause of death listed on the death certificate. The police discovered that the altered note happened directly after killing the patient, as each alteration had been time-stamped. While Shipman claimed to have called emergency medical services in front of the families and then calling back to cancel the request after the patient died, telephone records show that no calls were made. He also exhibited drug-hoarding behaviors, falsely prescribing morphine to patients who didn't need it, over-prescribing it to those who did, and visiting homes of the recently deceased to collect unused medications for disposal. Shipman was eventually found guilty of 15 counts of murder and one charge of forgery. An audit after his conviction put the number of victims he murdered around 236. He committed suicide by hanging in his jail shortly after his conviction. Okay, who's the next sewer scum whack job of a doctor? How about Walter Freeman, the father of lobotomy? Walter Freeman was an American physician and advocate of psychosurgery. Because he had no surgical training, he initially worked with other surgeons. Along with Dr. James W. Watts, he became the first in the U.S. to perform prefrontal lobotomy by craniotomy in the operating room. Looking for a quicker and easier way to perform the procedure, he perfected the transorbital lobotomy. In this procedure, the patient was first rendered unconscious by electroshock. Initially, Freeman used an actual ice pick from his own kitchen. He then went on to create and use the leucotome until it could not withstand the stress and broke off in a patient's skull. He then designed and implemented the stronger orbitoclast. These instruments were inserted into the back of the eye orbits and then hammered into the skull. They were wiggled back and forth in order to sever connections to the prefrontal cortex in the frontal lobes of the brain. This procedure often left patients in a vegetative state or reduced their behavior to childlike. It is estimated that 490 people died as a result. Freeman took his newly modified procedure on a national campaign in his van, which he dubbed his Lobotomobile. Charming. He would demonstrate the surgery to doctors working at state-run institutions. Sometimes he would show off by ice-picking both eye sockets at once with an ice pick in each hand. And these other doctors that are watching this, they see nothing wrong with it, right? Oh, show that to us again. His most notorious surgery was performed on Rosemary Kennedy, who was left in a vegetative state at age 23. One of his former patients, Howard Dully, went on to write the book My Lobotomy, discussing his experience with the procedure at age 12. Freeman allowed the media to watch a procedure in which a patient died when the ice pick slipped into the brain. He was noted to act indifferently and move on to the next patient. His license was eventually revoked after the death of a patient. Freeman died of cancer in 1972. At least they eventually revoked his license. And you'll hear a lot of stories about these psycho whack job surgeons. Like, they'll sew a woman's vagina to make it difficult for her to even urinate, let alone have intercourse. Other kinds of bizarre reptile things that only a deeply demon-infested Draco mind could even conceive of. The things they do to people in these surgeries. Here are a couple more whack jobs. The abortionist killers, Kermit Gosnell and Stephen Massoff. Dr. Gosnell was a physician in Philadelphia who was well known for providing abortions to immigrants and minorities. In the 1970s, he became an early advocate of abortion rights. In 1972, he opened an abortion clinic, the Women's Medical Society. His practice became known as an abortion mill, where viable fetuses were routinely killed following illegal late-term procedures. A total of 46 known lawsuits were filed against him during his career. In 2010, his clinic was raided after a long investigation by the Drug Enforcement Administration, the Philadelphia Police Department, and the state's Dangerous Drug Enforcement Unit. The investigation and raid also revealed the suspicious death of a patient in 2009, as well as unsanitary conditions, untrained staff, and the use of powerful drugs without appropriate supervision. They found half-conscious women waiting for abortions, moaning in bed on blood-covered recliners, fetal parts in milk and orange juice containers, medications past their expiration dates, staff who could not tell the investigators what dose of medications they had just administered. This is what I mean by a chamber of horrors, folks. And even flea-infested cats. Additionally, Gosnell admitted that at least 10 to 20% of the abortions were performed after 24 weeks, the legal limit. Of the remains recovered, three were discovered to have been viable. In 2010, Gosnell's medical license was suspended, and he was arrested in 2011. He was charged with many counts, including third-degree murder of an adult patient, multiple first-degree murders of babies, and the criminal enterprise for illegally prescribing and dispensing controlled substances. It was estimated that he made an additional 10,000 to 15,000 per night for illegal prescribing. He was sentenced to three life sentences without the possibility of parole. A medical student who aided Gosnell, Stephen Massoff, was sentenced to 6 to 12 years in prison. Massoff testified that he saw more than 100 babies born alive who had their necks snipped, which he equated to a beheading. Here's another one. H.H. Holmes. This is from the website MD Links, and it's called The Dark Side of Medicine. Five Doctors Who Became Serial Killers. And it was written October 22nd, 2019. And the very first person mentioned is H.H. Holmes. One of America's first serial killers, Herman Mudgett, better known as Dr. H.H. Holmes, was born in New Hampshire in 1861. At a young age, he showed an interest in medicine by performing surgery on animals. As a medical student at the University of Michigan, he stole corpses from the medical school and used them to make fraudulent insurance claims. He may have experimented on the bodies as well. He moved to Chicago, Illinois in 1885 and got a job at a pharmacy. In fear of being exposed by victims of his previous scams, Mudgett took up the alias Dr. Henry H. Holmes, and he eventually took over the pharmacy after purportedly murdering the original owner and the owner's wife. While living in Chicago, Dr. Holmes built a house specifically designed for murder, with secret passages, trap doors, soundproof rooms, locked doors, and gas jets to suffocate his victims. He had a kiln in his basement to incinerate the bodies, though he sold some as cadavers to local medical schools. So he kills these people, and then he sells their bodies to medical schools. Some of them. During the World's Columbian Exhibition in Chicago in 1893, Dr. Holmes lured his female victims from the fairgrounds to his, quote, murder castle, unquote. He would seduce them with promises of marriage, then steal their life savings, and finally kill them in his house of horrors. When he was eventually caught in 1894 and sentenced to death, he confessed to 27 murders, although experts believe he may have killed as many as 200 people. In 1896, Dr. Holmes was hanged for his crimes, and his murder castle was bought and repurposed. I don't know why I'm laughing. In 1896, Dr. Holmes was hanged for his crimes, and his murder castle, quote unquote, was bought and repurposed as a tourist attraction. In a strange twist of events, the House of Horrors burned to the ground shortly before opening. Well, that was good. And here's a quote attributed to serial killer H.H. Holmes. Quote, I was born with a devil in me. I could not help the fact that I was a murderer no more than the poet can help the inspiration to sing. Okay? Small sample size to be sure, extrapolating. You know what? To hell with this notion of small sample sizes, there's probably no shortage of these sewer scum. Because the system was created by reptile hybrid murderers, Luciferians, for the express purpose of churning out these whack jobs. So is it any wonder then that this same, exact same medical system is just wiping out so many people? Like I said earlier, they were already wiping out all these kids, already wiping out people with the seasonal flu jab. Every single year in the nursing homes, they kill off a bunch of elderly people with the flu wax anyway. That was already happening. And then at the outset of this so-called plague, how they got the numbers inflated besides falsifying the death certificates and all the misdiagnosis. I mean, literally people dying in motorcycle accidents and then written off as COVID deaths. But unfortunately, the elderly in the nursing homes were a captive population. They were isolated. They kept the families at bay because those were health orders, don't you know, to keep the families away. And that way they could OD the elderly, intubate them to death, whatever the case may be. And that's why we were hearing all the stories. It was happening in all the countries in the world, all at the same time. The nursing homes, the nursing homes, the nursing homes. And guess who they wanted to wax first? To get forced to take mandatory waxes. Well, surprise, surprise, the staff that works in the nursing homes. Because they want to wipe the slate clean. They want to wipe them out because dead men and dead women tell no tales. Because some of those people that worked in those nursing homes, they've seen, heard, read things which contradict the official nonsense. And then, of course, you have the mass murder that happened in places like New York City where they were just intubating hordes of people, just killing them. And so that's the kind of system we have today. And again, it behooves us to look at this from a non-human perspective. This planetary gaslighting, this lying through their teeth, encouraging everyone to get the wax, lie heaped upon lie, absurdity heaped upon absurdity. All these walking zombies, mask holes everywhere. I don't even consider them human anymore. I consider them some kind of weird hybrid sheepanoid, aggressive sheepanoid at times, but human with a human consciousness connected to source, activated heart center, no, far from it. To me, they are part of Sauron's army. They are a force multiplier, and I think we need, I wouldn't presume, let me put it that way, to tell others how they should think or how they should talk. And some of these wannabe gurus try to pull that crap. Oh, you can't use the word bless you because, you know, look at how it's spelled. Be less you. Be less, right? Or when you say, you know, good morning, that's, you know, bad use of words because of mourning, grief, you know, good morning. Morning is good, right? Well, what about German? Morgen. Morgen is, you know, means morning, but also means tomorrow, right? So let's not say Morgan anymore in German because we don't want people to have tomorrows and we don't want them to have mornings and we don't want them to have good mornings. So point I'm making is I wouldn't presume to tell others how to talk or how to regulate their use, their choice of words. I'm just saying that the term NPC, non-participating character, applies to many people, or let's say people who look like people but are not really people. But a non-participating character hardly describes a mask hole who calls the police if they see, you know, two or more people at a park, okay? Who calls the police if they see somebody visiting a single person visiting their neighbor, okay? They're no longer non-participating. They're a force multiplier for the system. They're part of Sauron's army, okay? So I just want to make my position clear on that. And as far as the passive bovine types are concerned, the sheepanoids, and this brainwash indoctrinated notion that, oh, as long as they keep acquiescing, as long as they keep obeying, as long as they keep giving away what's left of their rights, somehow things are going to get better. See, everything's an inversion now, right? They're being told now that vaccination is freedom. That if you want to go to restaurants, if you want to go to stores, you know, the QR codes, the Kabbalah codes, right? That equates to freedom. Check in, check out, freedom. Tracer applications, freedom. Getting vaccinated, freedom. And this is endlessly repeated. The sheepanoids will endlessly repeat, like an echo chamber, everything they hear and see on the news. You have these Luciferian whack jobs on TV, giving their press conferences, making with all the Illuminati hand gestures and hand symbols, lying through their teeth because they're evil sewer scum. I mean, if you can have a they live moment and disrupt the cloaking signal long enough, and then everyone sees that they're just a bunch of entities there lying through their teeth, lying through their jagged teeth, I don't even think that will wake up the sheepanoids. Because they've been genetically modified, genetically rather dumbed down, to the point where they just don't have this ability to think for themselves, this ability to reason, this ability to process and reject bogus information. A necessary prerequisite to be able to do those things is a connection to source, is an activated working heart center. And if their mind is just filled with garbage and they're all fluoridated and all dumbed down, well, yeah, then you're going to have what you have is a society of mask-hold sheepanoids. Non-participating characters describe a lot of people. One could argue that acquiescing, obeying all these edicts, I guess that's a form of non-participation. But the ones that are more active, the snitches, oh, the stories I hear. There was a story I heard of a couple of kids. Their car got a flat. They had to pull over on the side of the street, and they had to get out, look at the damage of their tire. They had to call around to a tire company to see if, you know, they can get another tire. And they're out there on the phone and looking at the damage and all that. There was some busybody mask-hole lady across the street who called the cops on them for, like, I guess congregating across the street from her house, right? Like, it offended her, it frightened her, it pissed her off that they would pull over and get out of their car and look at their car and look at their tire. And then the cops show up, right? By then, they'd gotten the tire fixed, right? They had to tell the cops, look, you know, we had a flat. We had to get, you know, pay for repairs and all this other stuff. And the cop let him go with a warning, right? With a warning. It's not even, well, you know, I'm glad it worked out for you. I'm glad this, I'm glad that. No, no, no. Just don't let it happen again, right? And all because this mask-hole, entity-infested woman called the cops on them because they had the misfortune of having a flat tire. Okay? So how could that be a non-participating character if they're actively engaged as one of a countless number of active duty members of Sauron's army, so to speak? This is all-out warfare, all-out attritional warfare. People are dying all over the place, all the time, dying and being maimed. And as far as the mask holes and as far as the sheepanoids, as far as the active duty members of Sauron's army in all their forms and all their manifestations, they are not innocent parties. They are as guilty as the day is long. Ignorance is not an excuse. Isn't that what they said at Nuremberg? Just following orders is not good enough? Just believing whatever the lamestream sewer scum media says, that's... Oh, no, you know, they're all completely absolved of blame, right? They've called the cops on people, ruined people's lives, destroyed their families, because they were misled. No, no, they're the real victims. They're the real victims for being misled. No, they don't get a free pass, as far as I'm concerned. No way. And the nurses and the interns and the administrators and the people in the records departments and the hospitals, and I've worked in non-clinical admin for many years in hospitals, right? I know how that system works. And I've worked in different areas in the medical industry, in neurology clinics, cardiovascular clinic for a short while, medical education. It was just one of those deals where, call it fate, call it destiny, call it what one will, but for whatever reason, I wound up in these places, right? Like in the neurology clinic, I've talked about this before, where they had these clinical trials. The families of these dementia and Alzheimer patients were desperate. They wanted, you know, some help, some resolution or something, so they volunteered their elderly patients, parents rather, as guinea pigs, and then they would ply these senior citizens who already have dementia, who already have Alzheimer's, ply them with a cocktail of drugs. And I read the reports. They would list a whole laundry list of side effects as a direct result of these meds that were being given these elderly Alzheimer dementia patients. And at the very bottom, it was always the same thing. But we found no correlation between the drugs and the side effects. Right after they list all the side effects, numerous side effects. Right? It's always been like that. It's always been like that. And this justification these people in the medical profession use. First of all, the MDs, the doctors, the pediatricians, they don't wax their own children. They don't wax themselves. Okay, this is the purest essence of psychopathy, where they can browbeat and coerce and shame a parent into damaging their own child, or browbeat a patient into damaging themselves with these whacks. But they don't take it themselves, and they get a kickback from the pharmaceutical industry. And people say, oh, how could they sleep at night? They can sleep very easily, thank you. You know, they're entity-infested hybrid sewer scum. That's how they can sleep at night. They can sleep very well, thank you. Because they make a boatload of money, and they have no qualms doing this. Because it's that God complex, this power they have, the ability to make life or death situations. And oh, another dead person, turn the page. Next, 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 next. And people still look at this from a purely human perspective, thinking that, oh, this is all just the work of power mad bankers. No, it's not. There is something absolutely inhuman behind all of this. Has been from the start. And it's about time that a lot of other podcasters are starting to recognize this too. What we've been saying all along. That there's a non-human controlling factor behind all this. So anyhow, I just wanted to get that off my chest, right? I didn't mean it for it to become this impassioned, right? But it just irks me no end that this is going on, and the sheepanoids are cheerleading all this, the whack jobs and psychos. And I just read you a few representative examples of what some of these psycho doctors are like, right? Didn't even talk about Dr. Jack Kevorkian, people like him, right? But there's no shortage of them, all right? It's not a statistical anomaly. When they're creating these cocktails of dangerous pharmaceuticals, they know darn well it's going to harm people, right? It's very scientific, but it does an alchemical aspect to it. A sorcery in its truest sense. Pharmacopoeia, sorcery. That's what it means. That's why, thanks or no thanks to Rockefeller Reptile Medicine, they changed the meaning, the drug prescribing aspect of it and the drug making aspect of it, and called it pharmacopoeia / pharmacy, pharmaceutical. That's where the term came from. And you look at the symbol of the medical industry, the caduceus, right? The two serpents intertwined over a staff. That's reptilian, folks. So now we're starting to get an understanding of what this is all about. We've been saying for some time now that there's a non-human factor behind it all. So I just wanted to get that out there, and I want to thank you once again for listening to Bartley's commentaries on the Cosmic Wars. And if you like what we do, if you believe in what we do, please go to thecosmicswitchboard.com, sign up, become a member, and we'll see you next time. Bye for now.
Because this is a frequency war.